This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. It was 150 years ago tomorrow that news reached Texas that the North had won the Civil War and that the slaves of the South were now free. It's a day now remembered as Juneteenth, and the celebration of Juneteenth has spread to most states in the Union. And what does this day actually represent? Because these are dark days for race relations. We are grieving last night's attack in South Carolina that left 9 people dead at a historic black church. We're still processing the McKinney pool party. We don't even have an answer for what happened in Ferguson and the death of Michael Brown. So there's a lot to talk about. But what do we talk about when we talk about Juneteenth? We have a big celebration in San Antonio, and we invite you to call in to tell us your memories and your expectations about Juneteenth. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at the source at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined this half hour with Brian Miller, the Juneteenth Commissioner for San Antonio Celebration, and Emily Blank. She is a professor of history at Rowan University, and she's currently working on a Juneteenth project. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Miller, tell us about what's happening in San Antonio with Juneteenth.
Well, thank you, David. There are a number of things that have already happened and that will be happening tomorrow and the days thereafter. First of all, last night we were at St. Philip's College, historically black college that serves an Hispanic population, and we had our annual Freedom Dinner, and it was in response to the death of Kathy Clay Little, who was a journalist and a publisher, and also wrote for the Express News.
She was a columnist.
And she started this dinner, and so some of us said that at her death that we would continue this dinner. And so we recognized unsung heroes and a number of organizations that had major impact in this community from the standpoint of the Bexar County Buffalo Soldiers to the Van Cortlandt Social Club, which is celebrating 100 years of being in existence. It's a group of men that began 100 years ago. It's the second oldest black social group in America that's still in existence. And so we had an opportunity to celebrate them and to honor them at that time. What we are doing tomorrow is we're going to be able to have a festival, and it's going to be at Comanche Park number 2, which is 2600 Rigsby Avenue on the southeast side of San Antonio. And it'll begin at 11 and end at 11, and we'll have all types of entertainment. We'll have an opening where we'll have some speeches and introduce people that are important in this community from the standpoint of what they bring and how they are able to advance the important issues of our city and of our state. We'll also have kids out with youth groups and gospel and just a lot of entertainment that kids will be able to enjoy themselves, but also learn about what's going on. Because one of the things that I know is that growing up, I happen to be, and for those of you all think I'm much younger, I'm 57 years old, but I grew up here in San Antonio, and I had to take Texas history, I believe in the 7th grade, and there never was any mention of Juneteenth or the 19th of June or anything that had anything to do with that. And so for many of us, we didn't learn about it in the schools. We learned about it at home. Our parents told us about it. And if your parents didn't tell you, you probably wouldn't have found out, because we who now live in urban areas, we started to not necessarily embrace Juneteenth because, of the hard issues that we had to accept as a result. And so in urban areas, we got a little, I guess what you could say, we kind of just didn't observe it, but we started observing the 4th of July. And the rural areas, though, they obviously never forgot. Now, let me just say this. In the urban areas, people had jobs before they could get off work. And after, let's say, World War II, folks weren't able to get off work or do the kind of things that they normally had done prior. And so in the rural areas, they just didn't go to work on the farm, and it was just fine. And they continued to observe it. But in recent years, it's been a resurgence. I've been working with this for 20 years now. And I was originally appointed by Governor Bush and reappointed by Governor Perry to the Juneteenth Historical Commission from the state of Texas. And so it's helped us to be able to be more of an ambassador and to get the word out and to raise the level of consciousness within our different areas. We were appointed from different cities and areas here in Texas. But with that said, tomorrow when you come out to Comanche Park number 2, which is 2600 Rigsby Avenue, beginning at 11 a.m., there'll be food and music and, like I said, a lot of entertainment. And it'll last up until 11 p.m.
Okay. So it's going to be a celebration, like a fiesta, festival.
Well, let me tell you, we got Zapp, which is a major R&B act from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then into the 2000s. And there'll be, as I like to say, there'll be more bounce to the ounce out at Comanche Park number 2.
So this is for everybody.
Juneteenth, as it's called, the 19th of June, is for everybody. And some people, they think it's only for black folks. But let me tell you, when freedom came, it didn't just free black folks. It freed white folks. It freed those white slave owners who were committing the atrocities of slavery. It freed the abolitionists that had suffered the pain of being ostracized for helping those blacks and people of African descent, even from the standpoint of Harriet Tubman with the Underground Railroad, and they were being persecuted. It freed those whites who were ambivalent and just didn't really want to be bothered. And so it freed everybody because, as a result, you know, we now can stand together and celebrate freedom. We celebrate emancipation, 150 years of emancipation. And, you know, I don't know who you are or what you represent, but all Americans, and we all are all Americans, we all understand freedom. And so we're very excited about that.
All right, Emily Blank, you are over at Houston Station, KUHF, and thanks for joining us. And you're working on a Juneteenth project. Can you talk about that project?
Hi, thanks for letting me talk with you guys. So I am working on a new project where I'm looking at how the holiday of Juneteenth spread, not only first through Texas, but also throughout the country. I think Mr. Miller is correct in saying that Juneteenth is a celebration for everybody, and people all over the country have started to embrace it. It first got spread by the slaves, the former slaves themselves, throughout the state, and then as those people moved out of Texas, it got spread through other states. Of course, first the states would be nearby, like Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana. But with the second Great Migration, that's when the holiday really spread. It spread all the way west to California. And
Emily, we're going to talk about that. It's being celebrated in Alaska, yep, and all over the world in places.
All over the world.
So yep, we're talking about Juneteenth. So what is Juneteenth? What does it mean to you? We want to hear your stories. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Juneteenth is the oldest nationally celebrated commemoration of the ending of slavery in the United States. From its Galveston, Texan origin in 1865, the observance of June 19th as an African Emancipation Day has spread across the United States and beyond. Today, Juneteenth commemorates African American freedom, emphasizes education and achievement. It is a time for reflection and rejoicing. We invite you to call in to talk about your thoughts and memories of Juneteenth. The number is 210-614-8980, and let's get a caller on the air. James is here. And James, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave.
Hey.
I listen to you regularly.
Thank you.
My comment is, it's good to celebrate the 19th of June. However, I'd like to say that April the 9th is a day, proper day, that should be celebrated. That's when Lee surrendered to Grant. And that's made all the other days possible. Lee surrendered after being pounded by Grant. He's the only general that was able to pursue him and made him give up.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Thank you for listening in and calling in. And so that seems, you know, Byron Miller, a Juneteenth commissioner here for San Antonio, I hear lots of people saying, well, maybe not Juneteenth, maybe we should celebrate this day or that day. Yeah. It's kind of hard sometimes to get everybody to get on the same page.
Well, let me just say this. Obviously, the Emancipation Proclamation was penned in 1862 to go into effect January 1st, 1863. It didn't free any slaves in the North. It freed slaves supposedly in the South, and it excluded Louisiana, Kentucky, and Virginia. And it was really for insurrection. They wanted to have those slaves to fight with the North. But to the caller that just called in, General Lee did surrender. He was a great general, and he was conflicted by even being the general for the South. But you got to think about it. He surrendered. The Civil War was over. There was an Appomattox. The Civil War was over, but Abraham Lincoln had not yet even been assassinated. He was assassinated, but yet there's still slaves in Texas. So even though Lee may have surrendered, that didn't stop the slave owners in Texas from continuing their practice of slavery.
All right, Emily Blank, you're doing a survey around the United States about how Juneteenth is celebrated. What have you found?
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of people who share the caller's concern about there being other days, as you said, that could be commemorated, especially when you live in the South and you had your own day when your people became free. I think Juneteenth is a convenient day for a lot of communities because it's a nice counterpart to the 4th of July. And for a lot of people in the Black community, the 4th of July rings false because, as Frederick Douglass says, what to the slave is the 4th of July? For the Declaration of Independence didn't declare African Americans free. It declared white people free. And so Juneteenth is close to 4th of July and has a lot of the meanings of freedom and emancipation that that meant that all of America could be free, as Mr. Miller talked about.
So do you think that Juneteenth should become a federal holiday? We asked this question to our listeners. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Join the conversation. So, Emily, what are your thoughts about making Juneteenth a federal holiday?
I think it needs to come from a really democratic point of view and make sure that the people are behind it. But I think it's a little bit odd because it's commemorating one state's celebration, but it really reflects the complexity of the history that we have, that it wasn't just one day that everybody became free with the Emancipation Proclamation like so many students are taught in school, but there was a gradual process. And so Juneteenth automatically teaches that idea. So and it also remembers the sorrow as well as the joy that came with the fact that we are a country that had slavery, but then freed our slaves. So I generally approve of that. I think that it's important that it come from a wide swath of the American public so that everybody really understands the holiday.
Right. So it's complicated, as you say, and it's not going to be an easy fit for all these other states, but they're already celebrated in one way or another because people mm-hmm. feel like, this is an important event in history. There is really not any other convenient way to do that, so Juneteenth fits the bill.
Yes, exactly. The other day that would be natural would be January 1st, and we already have a holiday on January 1st, and it's also in the depths of winter. I think there are a lot of rituals and traditions that go with Juneteenth, as Mr. Miller is describing, happening in San Antonio. And San Antonio had a very vibrant Juneteenth in the late 19th century too. Thousands of people would come to to San Antonio to celebrate. And I think having these a great fun event for the entire family makes it a really viable holiday.
So Byron Miller, what are your thoughts about making Juneteenth a national holiday?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Professor Blank, I'm sorry, because she's absolutely correct. It probably needs to be a groundswell of folks that come together. But let me just say this. We do celebrate all folks St. Patrick's Day, and that represents just one ethnic group, the Irish, and it's a national holiday from the standpoint, maybe not officially federal, but people do celebrate. And it would be difficult, I think, to make it into a federal holiday. But I'd like to see it.
Well, maybe just a more celebrated, like St. Patrick's Day, when people...
Well, right now it's being celebrated, as Professor Blank said, all over the country and even all over the world. They celebrate, I know for a fact, Juneteenth in Guyana, Africa. And so Texans have gone through the military and all other areas, so forth as Juneteenth spread.
So, but for some people I've spoken with in the African American community, they feel conflicted about it because it's kind of weird because you're celebrating the fact that this news got here so late.
Yeah.
And then it's not an easy package.
Here's what we celebrate. It obviously was the last day of slavery that we know of, from the standpoint of the information not being accessible to the folks there. Are here in Texas, but it's the first day of freedom, of emancipation for all people here in Texas. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate how far we've come, because I've got information and documents that once we were able to communicate and write things down, we started to document the number of businesses, schools, churches, and the achievements that had existed and exist as a result after the 19th of June. When those folks were free, they had to do two things: either stay on the plantation and work for wages, which unfortunately began the sharecropping, and that wasn't good, or to go out and to work for themselves or get gainful employment, but just not be idle. And that's what many folks did. They left with the shirt on their back, if they had that, and they were obviously into recycling and sustainability because they didn't have much of anything. And they built everything they had as a result. I'm very mindful of, I was just talking to Dave earlier before the show, of St. Paul United Methodist Church here in San Antonio. It began in 1866, right on Center Street in St. Paul Square. It's moved further down the street to Center and Mesquite, but it's the first church that was established in 1866 by free people. And after that, churches, universities — I'm a proud graduate of Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia — began, and we've been educating and then developing college graduates and presidents and everyone else. But it's just a time that we mark to start the beginning of how far we've come. And that's what's important. I mean, who would have ever thought, you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that we'd ever have a black president in America.
Or African-American mayor, San Antonio.
And I'm fifth generation San Antonian. And I would have bet money we would never, ever have an African-American mayor. And we're very proud of Ivy Taylor at this time.
Sure. So, Emily, as you look at these celebrations of Juneteenth across the country, how many of them do look forward as celebrating achievement in the community?
Yeah, I think in many senses, every community takes the holiday and makes it their own. While there's a sense that Galveston and Texas is sort of the homeland, they then take that holiday and make it about the achievements in their own community. I went to a Juneteenth in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which was a tiny little Juneteenth, and in it they met in a church, and in there they reenacted some local Underground Railroad activists and talked about the black community and how they supported the end of slavery in their community. So it's definitely a moment for that local community to really look at their past and how they related to the institution of slavery and the institution and the value of freedom that that embody the kind of complexity of America.
Sure. And the other part of it is that, of course, when Juneteenth happened 150 years ago, certainly not the end of the struggle. It was just a new phase of the struggle, one that continues even today as we fight for economic equality and access to opportunities. And is that part of the discussion, Mr. Miller?
Well, absolutely. As we reflect and look at where we are, we want to understand that information is the key to freedom. And access to that information. The fact that the folks in 1865 and before had no access to information, when Major General Granger Gordon read General Order Number 3, freeing those slaves, I mean, that news spread quickly, and there was nothing that was going to stop those folks from walking away from that plantation. I don't think if the slave owners had guns and whips and everything else, the fact that they knew they were free. And so information is so important, and I think even today we have such access to so much information, and it's how we use it. But
still, so many people aren't even aware that June 19th is a significant day.
Right.
It doesn't even register with them. And so there's still a lot to do in that area, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot to be done. And I don't know if it, although I'm studying Juneteenth and I think it's an important holiday, it's not as important that they remember Juneteenth in particular, but have a moment to really think about the fact that we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go to think about where we've gone in terms of making our country what we want it to be in terms of being an equal and free country. And Juneteenth is a really great opportunity for our country to do that. And I think that's why communities and politicians have both picked up on it.
Right. So how do we make Juneteenth more inclusive, Byron?
Well, we don't beat people up with it. You know, we explain what the history is. We let folks know what happened. But again, it's not a time to get mad or angry at anyone. It's a time to reflect. And again, as Professor Blank said, to mark those occasions and times and advancements that we have. And it's just to showcase how people can work together. And when all work together and you know, as the Bible says, love thy neighbor, we all do better.
All right, so we're running out of time here. I got enough time for you to tell me again the details of what's going to happen with our celebration.
Tomorrow we're going to be at Comanche Park Number 2, which is 2600 Rigsby Avenue, Southeast San Antonio.
So you're saying tomorrow, Friday?
Friday, which is the 19th of June.
Okay.
150 years of emancipation. And it'll be from 11 to 11. And we have a national act that will be celebrating it by the name of Zap. And then on Saturday, we'll have a parade that'll start at the Mega Food Warehouse there on W.W. White and end at Sam Houston High School. Then we'll have a Little Miss Juneteenth at the Carver Cultural Center, the Little Carver, there on Hackberry Street, and it'll begin at 3 p.m. That'll be Father's Day.
So we're going to have a lot of this information is posted on our website, tpr.org. This is The Source on KSTX.